In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And our gospel passage this morning, we hear the beginning of Christ preaching. He has been to John in the Jordan River. He has been baptized. He has been declared through what we call the Feast of Theophany, that revelation, that appearance of God. He has declared himself to be the Son of God. God himself has given testimony. God the Father and God the Spirit have given testimony that this is the Son of God, one of the three persons of the one God, the Trinity. And then he begins his ministry at the point when John's ministry begins to recede, when John has been taken captive and arrested. And it is part of the way in which the words that we hear from John elsewhere in the gospel is fulfilled. I must decrease so that he may increase. And that is also part of the way in which Christ respects the ministry of John. That he does not go out there while John is preaching and begin to preach on his own and draw from John in the moment of John's preaching the disciples of John. He respects John. He allows John to complete and to fulfill and to be completely fruitful in what his ministry was. A voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord, preparing the way for God, preparing the way for Christ to begin his ministry. The words then that Christ begins his ministry with, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, are striking words for us. We might lose them, it is possible to lose them in the gospel narrative because we have heard John use those words. But when John preached those words, he meant that the kingdom of God is coming, that it is near. But when Christ uses those words, he means that it is present, because he himself is the kingdom. But it is worth noting that he says that when the kingdom of God is at hand, when it is near, when it is present, that we are called to repent. We are called to repent for a multitude of reasons, but I would suggest that sometimes the reasons we think we are called to repent are backwards or sideways, let's say. They're sideways. They're close to the mark, but they're not quite always hitting the mark. Because so often when we repent out of fear. We repent out of fear because now that the kingdom of God is at hand, we recognize how much we are outside of the kingdom. Now, this is not a bad place for us to start if, in fact, we have been sleeping spiritually. And we then realize that truly God exists and truly he is God. And truly he is present to us. And truly he cares about what is going on in our lives. And he takes the measure of our life. And he desires something for us. And he has given to us purpose. And when we see that, and we see, and we take estimate of our own self, and we see how far we are from that, then we are filled with fear. But the fear that we are filled with is the fear of losing life. The fear of shame that we have exiled ourselves from the garden. That we walk around not in the life that God has given to us, but in the garment of skins that he has given to us to preserve us in our enmity towards him, if that makes sense. And that fear draws us to the Lord. That fear is holy fear. But fear of God, when we have received his forgiveness, when we have received his presence, when we have entered into the kingdom, becomes a distrust of God, where we still see this God not only as being far from us, but as being wrathful towards us. We believe that the enmity is on his part and not on our part. But the whole purpose of the kingdom coming into our midst is to reveal to us the divine love and mercy and compassion of God, that he desires for us to become sons and daughters, to receive the inheritance that Christ, the only begotten Son, has. And it's worth noting for a moment that to call Christ the only begotten, which is a theological term that speaks about who God is, etc., but at the same time to say that he is the only begotten Son, and then to say that God desires us to be sons and daughters, speaks volumes about the intimacy with which God desires to bring us into in relation to him. But what I want to really point out about with our words this morning that we received from Christ, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is that when we see that kingdom, we encounter divine love. And the divine love teaches us a new kind of repentance. We move out of repentance due to fear, whether it is fear of a wrathful God, or if it is fear because we are outside of the kingdom. We encounter that God, and He immediately brings us into His grasp. And so that fear should ultimately be replaced by a different kind of repentance. And that kind of repentance is a repentance that comes from the softening of the heart, where it is the constant conversion of the heart into compassion and love. That itself, that conversion, is a form of repentance. And it is a form of repentance that may take some. We read about St. Simeon the New Theologian, and the moment that he read the gospel, his heart was completely converted, and he immediately experienced the uncreated light. And he was essentially a pillar of the church almost from day one. And then there are people like myself who take an entire lifetime to figure out how to soften their heart. But whatever may be the case, when we encounter that divine love, that conversion of the heart begins. And that is our repentance. That is our repentance. We don't go to God with repentance. We don't come and confess to Him in fear and trembling for our life, that we are going to be killed by God. We come to Him in fear and trembling of conversion, that we are in the midst of a transfiguration, a transformation. And it is the struggle of that conversion of the heart that is our repentance. It is the practice of conversion, the practice of the presence of God, being aware of His presence, the practice of overcoming the passions we have already been saved from, the practice of being purified, the practice of being illumined by the true knowledge that we have received. And notice I said, we have been saved from, we have received. God not only takes the initiative by coming and saying the kingdom of God is at hand, but He takes the initiative at every stage of our salvation as well. When we say, when somebody asks us if you've been saved, and we say, I have been saved and I'm being saved and I will be saved, that's not about our work. That is about the constant initiatory work of God in our life, that He is always coming into our life and always working upon us and aiding us and strengthening us and giving us agency to work out the salvation He has already given us, that He is giving us and that He will give us. And all our repentance is an act of confidence in the love of God. Repentance for the Christian is an act of confidence in the love of God. Not of fear before a wrathful God, but an act of confidence before a loving God, a God who is always coming into our midst, always revealing Himself, and always transfiguring us in His presence, and because of His presence, by His presence. And so, this has very concrete impact on how we should behave in the world around us. When we look at the world around us, we are not looking at a world that is trying to convert into the kingdom of God. We see a world that God is working upon humbly through the church, through the kingdom that is the church, through us, even though we're not perfect ourselves. We go into the world and we still bring those things that we are being purified of in our engagement with the world. And it is easy for us to see, with the zeal of a convert, the evils of the world and desire the world to be converted and think that we have received the light and therefore we are called to convert the world. But the first and most essential conversion that the encounter with the kingdom of God calls us to is the conversion of our own heart. Love teaches us to become ourselves love. We work on the conversion of ourselves into love. We may have started at enmity with God, at enmity with our neighbor, and the conversion that the kingdom calls us to is the conversion of our own heart, the softening of our own heart, becoming compassion ourselves to the world in which we encounter. And so if we desire to convert the world around us, we do not go out into the world and condemn the world. Christ gives us a very clear parable about this with the servant who was owing money to his master, could not pay that, was condemned to the prison, but then freed by the mercy of the master. But then, what he does, when he comes to the servant that owes him money, he condemns him. He condemns him from his new place of his own righteousness. And what we are called to is the exact opposite of that. We see the world, we see what we may call the evils of the world, and we work to convert our own heart. And the conversion of the world comes about because when they see the kingdom of God present in us, at hand in us, then they long for what we have found. Sometimes they say we are beggars telling other beggars where we have found bread. But we are noble beggars because we have entered into the kingdom of God. We have been made nobility. But we do then not go out. We don't then go out into the world riding on our high horse, telling the world, I have found salvation, now I will teach you how to live. We go out as humble nobles, beggars, telling beggars where we have found bread, seeking to give nourishment from the one who nourishes us. That's the conversion of the world that comes about by the conversion of our own heart. The world is transfigured because we become saints. Not because we go out and preach to them, not because we go out and condemn them, not because we go out and we tell them why they're not in the kingdom or what they have to do to come into the kingdom. We go out and we are the kingdom to them. And we are the kingdom through the conversion of our own heart into compassion, into love, into mercy, into forgiveness, into being the one who steps into the gap and fills the gap, into the place where we are able to be the hospital for those who are sick, the place who's able to be the doctor to those who need therapy and care and healing. That is what we're called to. It is always the conversion of our own heart. It is in our own heart, the fathers tell us, that the dividing line between heaven and hell runs, between our own heart. So it is our own heart that must be converted if we desire to make all of creation heaven and to eradicate any presence of hell. If we see evil in the world, we overcome that in our own heart. And what we offer to the world is not condemnation, but mercy and love and peace and invitation and hospitality and healing. Why? Because we were the one that was at enmity with God. We were the one who was filled with evil. We were the one who started our repentance in fear and trembling and learned by the love of God. But what I mean by that is that it was the love of God that taught us. We learned by the love of God how to step out of our evil, how to step out of our enmity, how to step out of our fear and trembling into certainty, in trust, into confidence in the love of God. That love does not fail, but fills all things and turns even Hades into resurrection and paradise. We have to have confidence in that. It is what we were converted to, and it is what our ongoing conversion is all about. It is the source of our joy. It is the source of our hope. It is the promise that we anticipate being fully fulfilled, not only in ourselves, but in the world around us. And we don't go into the world taking up a new bag of fear and casting it over our shoulders. We go into the world with confidence. In the love of God, it has converted my own heart, and believe me, I know that if my heart can be converted, then so can the heart of every person. And I do not need to be standing in fear or in enmity or in judgment before any other of my neighbors. Because if God can convert my heart and I can be standing here in front of you, then He can convert the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because Christ, who is divine love, stands in our midst and nourishes us and gives to us life and life abundant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me.